News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Éanann Éileanna is with us, biologist, environmentalist, broadcaster and Irish Times contributor, to discuss the revelation that wrens, as in the little songbird, are evolving independently on outer islands around Scotland, which is supposed to give an insight into how independent evolution occurred on islands like the Galapagos et al. Around the world. What is it that scientists have found, Éanna?
Well, hello, good morning. And we're talking about the wrens on St. Kilda. St. Kilda is the most furtherly western island off Scotland, it's way out in the sea by itself. And the wrens there, Whitley here, sit down. The wrens there are twice the size the wrens are on mainland England and mainland Scotland. They're the huge size of 15 grams as opposed to 7 grams on the mainland. I mean, none of them are huge, but I mean, for it to be twice the size is actually amazing. And that's what they're like on St. Kilda, and that's what they have discovered.
Now, you would have thought the opposite would be the case, because I would have imagined that life is tough on St. Kilda.
Oh, it's very tough on St. Kilda. And in fact, there are only about 20 land bird species there. You can imagine it's absolutely covered in seabirds, and they all come ashore to breed and they all go away again. And if you're going to look for birds, you'd be out there studying the seabirds. But people used to live on St. Kilda, and presumably when they lived there originally, wrens somehow got included on the... Because you wouldn't really fly all the way from mainland Scotland if you were a wren away out to St. Kilda in the stormy seas. So there are only hardly any species of land birds there. You'd have much more on the mainland, obviously. So there's very little competition. The ones that made it have hardly any predators, so they don't have to be flying away from everything and terrified out of their lives. The other crowd that should be there eating the things in the cracks of the trees and eating the stuff somewhere else. There might even be trees in St. Kilda now, I'm not sure. But there are fewer competition, there are less species looking for the same food. And of course, they have fewer predators, and as a result, they can sit around the place getting fat because they don't have to be rushing away from being attacked and rushing away and being nervous and keeping an eye on themselves. And this is what happens on islands generally with birds. Birds get bigger. And in actual fact, the dodo was a pigeon, an ordinary sized pigeon. And when it was on Mauritius, and it had no predators, it stopped flying altogether. It could walk around and wouldn't fly because that was too much energy, and it got to be very large. So
the dodo was a pigeon.
Dodo was a pigeon. Yeah. Aren't you glad you're talking to me? Yeah, the dodo was a pigeon.
So the origins of the dodo were a normal, flying, decent, honest-to-God pigeon that just expanded and expanded until it became that useless thing.
Yes, and then it started to walk around the place and didn't fly. And there were no rats, there were no people, there were nothing there to annoy it. And so until the humans and the rats came along and put an end to it, it evolved into something that was much less hassle. If you had to be flying everywhere, you need a whole load of energy, which you don't have if you're walking. But same with the kiwis in New Zealand. I mean, they don't fly, they come down and walk along the ground because, again, the absence of predators that would have stopped this happening. So, I mean, getting bigger on islands for birds is certainly something that happens. Whereas if you're a mammal, on the other hand, you get smaller because things like pygmy hippos and things like that lived in islands in the Mediterranean way back for though. They actually got smaller and miniaturized. Now, why they did that, I don't know. But certainly the birds, from the point of view of the birds, it's because there's less competition, there's more food, and they can take life easier because they're not being chased out of their existence.
Now, before I let you go, I want your view on the news that Google wants to breed and spread 32 million sterile male mosquitoes and release them into California and Florida to reduce the threat of things like Zika and West Nile virus and all the rest of it. A, how is this meant to work, Éanna? And B, are there any likely downsides? Because if I know my environmental history, releasing large quantities of anything tends to end badly.
Well, it can do, but in this case, no. They've already done this in Asia. So, I mean, maybe not Google, but the scientists have done this. They've released sterile males who are infected with some kind of a bacteria. And when they rush after the females and do the whole thing, the females don't lay eggs or anything else, but nobody else wants them. So, in fact, they don't know that they're not able to lay proper eggs. So it's a way of putting the females out of commission without having to be spraying, because the females are the dangerous ones. I mean, the males don't bite. The males are the most nice, gentle creatures. It's only the females. But do all the biting and give us all the diseases. The deadlier sex indeed. So if you can put the females out of action without spraying, without killing, without having to be looking for swamps, draining a huge amount of stuff, if you could just get at them, and it's not giving them a disease, and it's not like I was talking to you last week about feeding the pigeons with sterile, with contraceptives. This is only male mosquitoes who have their works gummed up with a bacteria. They're able to do the business, but the females can't reproduce, and it seems to be working in Asia, where this dengue fever is an awful dose. So it might work in America too. Nice to see Google doing something useful for a change.
Aina, I look forward to next week's installment of Contraception for Wildlife. Aina Ní Leanna, thank you very much. That's Aina Ní Leanna, biologist, environmentalist, broadcaster, and Irish Times contributor.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.